Well, right now, churches are more divided than ever about how you can and how you shouldn't be using AI. Like, can you use AI to help you write sermons? Or is it okay to let AI answer prayer requests? We've seen all of these things happen. And in this conversation, we're going to break down some of the most controversial questions when it comes to AI and the church. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about the AI controversies that are breaking the internet right now. Should be a good conversation because AI is, if nothing else, controversial. I think especially in church circles, I am seeing more and more of them on X, and all of these we're going to talk about are things that I've seen posted and are real controversies that are happening around AI right now. And I gotta tell you, I'm wrestling with all this stuff here. I find that when chatbots and things first started, ChatGPT a couple of years ago, I found myself like asking all kinds of questions and making blanket statements. And I found that the conversation is much more nuanced around some of this stuff here right now. And I suspect that, you know, here we are recording this. It's going to air, I think, in July of 2025, that this may change a year or two down the road. Maybe these kinds of things will change. I hope not, but I think these things could change here. So let's dig in. We're going to talk about some of the controversies we're seeing right now in the church AI space. We do a lot of content around this, so Let's jump in.
And this first one, Thomas, is one that I think we hear a lot of feedback and controversy about, is that can AI write a sermon that actually preaches?
Yeah, good question. So I'm about to make a video about this. So I'm going to do a deep dive on this topic here. And I think the video is going to be called something like AI should help you write sermons, or why AI should write sermons. Because I found myself very blanket statement, making these huge statements a couple of years ago, where I said, never let AI write sermons for you. And I still kind of like stand by that in principle, like you should never like have a completely AI written sermon. But I will say that more and more I am using AI as a tool that is with me. When I'm writing messages, I have my Bible open. So usually I'm doing it on this computer. So over here, I have my Bible open on Bible Gateway, and I'm using it to reference verses and those things. I have a Word document that's going to be here. And now I have a Claude window open. That's my chatbot of choice. Maybe use ChatGPT, maybe use Gemini, doesn't really matter. But I use Claude, and I have that open in there as well. And I find myself using it as a shortcut for lots of different kinds of research-related functions when I'm preparing a sermon. So do I let AI help me write sermons? Absolutely. Do I ask AI to write sermons for me in kind of just a generic way? Absolutely not. I think it is a valuable tool. So a couple of quick things I use it for. Finding scripture references is an easy one. If I need to remember, hey, you know, give me 11 verses about this particular topic, or maybe I'm trying to find a few different scriptures on something, using AI to help me find that, that's a good tool. Helping me find quotes or interesting anecdotes from prominent Christian teachers. Maybe I remember something like, I remember that Tim Keller said something really interesting about the birth of Jesus in his book about Christmas. Asking it to help me find some of those kinds of resources, what a time saver that is from like going to grab my book off of my shelf, or going to a library if I don't have it, or you know, buying the book on Amazon and finding the quote. Being able to use AI for those kinds of tools is great. One other thing I'm doing a lot now is I'm actually having it like kind of bounce my written sermon. I'm bouncing it off of AI and asking it for feedback. One that I'm doing a lot is asking it for what are some objections that a non-believer would have to the statements that I'm making in this message, and having it help me think through my message from the perspective of someone that maybe doesn't know Jesus yet. And not that I'm necessarily going to take, like, use that as advice to, like, you know, make it more palatable necessarily, but just kind of getting that perspective and knowing what are the objections they might be thinking about might help me in my actual sermon delivery. So that's just a few things. There are countless others. Stay tuned for a video on this topic, but can AI write a sermon? It can definitely be a help. We will say that. So I use it very, very heavily in my sermon preparation process now.
That's good. That's good. So the next one, should we let AI design our church graphics?
Hmm. Yeah, this one, I don't think it's good enough yet in most cases. I'm
less controversial too, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's, who am I to say that, like, that if we're going to, the Holy Spirit has to be involved with these parts of our ministry, but when it comes to our overall church brand or church graphics, we should just have AI do those kinds of things. Like, so, you know, AI, it can do some of this stuff, and we do use it for, like, event graphics and those kinds of things. I'm finding myself using AI. Specifically, I use mostly Sora for this, for making photography, church graphics, some of that kind of stuff. I think that that's okay. I don't have a problem with it. As long as I'm not just, I think the issue is if you just blanket take whatever AI spits out and you don't actually go back and forth with it a little bit, I think that's when you get into some of the trouble we'll talk about in this episode here. Yeah, for me, it's not that controversial. I think the issue is just that in lots of cases, it's not good enough. We did a video recently. AI has changed since then, but we actually tried to make a church logo with AI, and that was not yet good enough. We tried really hard. It did a good job with, like, layouts, and I think it did a really good job with color choices. That was really a highlight for me, but when it just tries too hard to, like, stuff in Christian symbolism and that kind of stuff, in my view. And as much as we tried to push it in the right direction, it had a hard time with simplicity when it came to logos, which I think is what stands out for most people nowadays. So, so that's kind of my view on that right now. So
it's still getting there on that, is what we can say. So, gotcha. Now, can AI be trusted to disciple new believers?
Hmm. All right, so this is where we get into some controversy here, right? So can AI be trusted to disciple new believers? I would say no. But can AI be used to disciple new believers as a tool? I think there is some case to be made for that. So we had a client, you and I, Ian, recently, that it was a parachurch ministry, and he built an AI chatbot that was for that very purpose, to answer hard biblical questions and to disciple people that are new to faith. And it was really interesting. And I'm super interested in these AI things for churches. And so I dug in pretty quickly, and I tried to, like, ask it, like, really hard questions about the faith. So I basically was able to figure out pretty quickly that it was a extremely conservative it was trained on extremely conservative content. So I think of, like, basically if you went to John MacArthur and asked him a bunch of Bible questions. And so I got it to say, by asking it questions, like, I pressed it on Elevation Church, and I told it something to the effect of, like, hey, I just got baptized at Elevation Church, and Stephen Furtick himself did the baptism for me. He dunked me, and it told me that I needed to immediately get baptized at a different church if I wanted to be sure my baptism counted, basically. So I thought that was kind of interesting advice on things there. I don't personally believe that, but I think that there are definite, like, challenges to it, and are chatbots ready today to be, like, exactly the same as a nuanced pastor? No. Like, you can get them to say things you don't want them to say. And so I think for that reason, I'm cautious about it, but I do think that they're good tools for discipling people. So my church, what we do every week is we take our YouTube transcript and we copy all of that, and we will put it into Claude, again, my chatbot of choice, and I'll ask it to help us to come up with our life group questions every single week. So I ask it to come up with an icebreaker and three prominent questions that we can share with our life groups that will help them kind of start some of those conversations. So is that a tool that disciples people? I think it is. And there's actually tools that are built that do all this all automated for you. I don't like them as much as actually using Claude and kind of building my own prompt that I've built around it. So that's what I use there. So it's happening. I do use it for this purpose, but to the one word of trust, do I trust AI to do it? No, I'm not ready to do that. I don't know that we ever should.
Right, right. Again, it as a tool is what we usually keep coming back with this. So
yes.
Next one could also be a controversial one. Is AI composed worship still worship?
Okay, so this one is nuanced. Now, I don't know if you've played with some of the software out there, and the name is escaping me right now of the one that I've been playing with a little bit, but you can make music right now that like sounds pretty darn close to like real worship, like to real musicians. So you can just take the person, like, so if you said like Brandon Lake, for instance, you know, write me a worship song, you know, based on this scripture, based on that sounds like something Brandon Lake would do, and Hillsong United or something like that. You could use a prompt like that and it'll actually generate real music that sounds, I'd say 90% of the way there, to like what those actual artists sound like. It's really incredible. Now, I don't know of any church that's actually doing this for worship right now. Like, let's write new worship songs every week, because the value of worship songs often is that they're known by everybody in your congregation and we can sing with one voice these same kinds of words. And so there's just some value to that. So if you're writing new ones for worship, then I don't really see the use case there yet. But I don't see why, like, necessarily, like, it could be a worshipful experience for someone. So if I were to make one of these, like, kind of fake Brandon Lake songs or something, and I said, base it on Psalm 23 or something, I could worship to that, I'm sure. Like, and I've heard content that's good enough that actually could work that way. But yeah, it's a touchy subject, I think. So it certainly isn't the same thing as someone led by the Holy Spirit to write that. So I wouldn't just automatically accept whatever AI produces. But I certainly believe a believer could have a worshipful experience with AI if they set out to do something like that.
Obviously, if it aligns with scripture and you measure it against that, pray about it. We recommend all of that for sure. So, but next one, again, another one that could be an interesting one and controversial. Can AI teach children about Jesus?
Okay, so the answer to this is yes. Like, can AI teach children about Jesus? Yes, and it is already happening right now. So Google, as the time of this recording, recently released VO3, which is making almost indistinguishable video clips. And it is actually happening right now, where there are AI agents that are writing, like, AI is doing this all automated. Let me kind of, there's a software called N8N. That's what most people are using for this right now. I encourage you, audience, if you want to look into it. This isn't going to be a breakdown of that in this video. But what N8N does is it lets you build AI agents that goes out and it does tasks automatically. And so you can actually set it up today for it to go and find a Bible verse or a Bible story, then write it in a children's friendly way that would appeal to a 7-year-old. You could have AI do that for you. And then you could have it go to a service like VO3 or other, like Sora, and you could have it stitch together multiple clips of that story in like a Bible animation, kind of an old-timey animation style, or a VeggieTales animation style, or lots of different ways. And you could have actually make those videos, and then you could have that same thing all automated, post, like actually read out a script about those Bible verses and read out the story, make it into a video and post it onto YouTube. And this is happening right now. Like, a lot of the YouTube Bible story channels are 100% AI driven. And frankly, like, you feel like they were made by real animators and real people that are writing the stories, and they're not actually doing it. So to the question of, can AI do this? Yes, and it's doing it right now. And some of these videos have literally millions of views on them. So it's happening. Now, to the question of, is it right? Not without supervision, I wouldn't say. Like, not without, I think you can use AI to do these things, and it can be a good discipleship tool. But I am worried that there probably are some that are making grave mistakes, and I wouldn't trust it to do it without, like, constant supervision on everything that I would put out there. So partly because it's not good enough also. I think it also, without being supervised, it will not do a good enough job making it like a really good quality product. And then partly because I do not trust its theology right now. But to the question of, can you do it? Yes, you definitely can.
Yes. Should you? Yeah. Another question. And yeah, the supervision part, obviously key there. So should AI answer prayer requests, Thomas?
Yeah. Yeah. This floored me, because our research team that helps us with some of these things here, we have found churches that are doing this. And this one, like, I'm not going to name any of the churches that we saw doing it, but this is really a thing where people will submit prayer requests, and then AI will, like, one of them actually, like, said, hey, we're going to submit this to our pastor's team, but let me give you some scriptures to kind of to help you with this here. And then the AI actually wrote out a prayer. The way they framed it was, like, for them to be praying. And, like, so this one's on the border, like, for me. Like, if we trust the person to be able to discern whether the prayer is biblical or not and the right kind of things to be praying, perhaps it could be okay to kind of give them some, like, a starting point with this here. But I'm really, really leery about this. So this is an old thing for me, like, that. So I've had prayer request forms on my website for years, and I feel like, I feel just worried about even just the auto response on our prayer request form, that it says, hey, this is going to be passed along to our prayer team and we'll be praying for you. And so to that end, every single prayer request we get, I feel a burden that I committed to doing that. So I'm going to pray for every single one that we receive. So, like, I'm really, like, kind of a stickler on these kinds of things. But yeah, I got to tell you, I don't like it. Like, this one rubs me the wrong way right now. Prayer is something that's so spirit-led and such a spiritual
process. It's personal.
Process.
It's something that obviously God wants his people to personally lift up to him. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So
on behalf of another person, interceding for them. Yes.
So I could make a case that, like, helping generate prayer points, or, like, you know, giving scripture references to people that they may be able to pray through in that.
In the meantime, before we connect. Yeah.
But even then, I don't trust it enough right now that it's going to give good pastoral care to people in their, when you're getting a prayer request. Often, I mean, you know, usually it's, I look at our prayer requests and it's someone's going into surgery or someone lost a loved one or those things. I don't trust it in these moments where deep human and Lord, like, connection with the Lord is needed. I do not trust AI to do this right now. So I'm generally negative on that, but I could be convinced perhaps that there is a use case for some of those limited functions to give people some tools to help them pray for themselves too.
Yeah, no, well put, and a good segue to this last one is AI warping our theology.
I'm worried about it. It hasn't, I don't think, for me, done that. I gave you that that anecdote about that AI chatbot that is, you know, promoting obviously extremely conservative theology. And so, you know, that is obviously, it's guiding someone's theology in that way. So, yes. And I think that that's the thing about AI right now, too, is that we just don't have, it's not tested, right? We don't know what this is going to do to, after 20 years of this, and who knows what AI will look like in 20 years, more will have been written by AI in 20 years than has ever been written in all of human history before it. And how much of that is going to start to change things and the way we think about things and start to change the way we relate to some of our key issues of our time. I do know one of my biggest fears actually for AI is like, what is it doing to my mind? Like, what is it like? Is it making me so reliant?
Making you more of a robot.
No. Am I becoming so reliant on it that I'm losing my capacity to think in certain ways? Like, here's a perfect example. People that had to find verses in their Bible by hand were much better at finding verses than maybe we have become because we've relied on Google searches to find verses. And if we go to the next step of AI and have it just spit out verses for us on any topic we could possibly think of, like, will that make us less familiar with our Bibles because we don't spend as much time in them? That's a concern of mine that I think we need to be serious about in the church. Like, that's something that is a real world situation that's happening there. So there's lots of those kinds of things. I do think those will be things we have to wrestle with, and they will, if left unchecked, they will warp our theology. So the answer to that one is yes, I think. It probably is warping our theology in a negligible way right now, but over the course of a generation, and when you have children that have only known AI in their entire lives, like, how different will things be? So it's absolutely something where we need to be on guard for this, and we need theologians that are wrestling with these kinds of things. And so hopefully we can kind of break the ice a little bit with some of that, with some of these kinds of conversations here.
That's a good one to close and something to definitely be concerned about, but that was a good one. And I'm sure awesome. we addressed a lot of concerns with it there and some of the controversial points with AI and church. So yeah, good stuff, Thomas.
Yeah. If you guys are wrestling with any, something you're wrestling with on AI, maybe it's on the edge or you're feeling, is this okay or not? We'd love to kind of hear other use cases that are out there and kind of talk about them. Drop us a comment down below. We'd love to see what else you're doing. We'll respond to every one of them, maybe even make some future videos about that topic. So thanks guys for watching, and we'll see you next time.
See you.